It basically started with the quick summaries that in 2009 I had cancer, thyroid cancer, and I pulled together seven brothers of mine, friends that are new ministers that I knew, and we chose a date where we could all travel together, and we found July 2010 was the first date with our schedules, and so we all flew to Denver, which is kind of like the central area of where we were living. And we spent 2 days to actually talk together, and it was in the room, in that hotel room, that we reconfigured our lives in Christ, and that's where we said that it was actually about Jesus being the center of our lives, that we felt that we had kind of lost track of that in our personal lives. Because I'm an organizer, I said I want to do this again every year and just pull people together just to talk about this, and I wrote down a long list of people straight away and made everybody in the room do the same. I put my wife's name at the top of the list, went home and invited her to come and do this in 7 months' time. She said, no, I'm not going to go into that. It's going to be one of your church things. I know what you're going to do. I won't even see you. You'll be busy with all that kind of stuff. And so, but now she saw, I think she's seen the difference of what it actually really is. And so, yeah, it's just a space for us to talk about Jesus being part of our lives. Tim Gillespie, Sam Lenore, Terry Swenson, Alex Bryan, and myself. And then Eddie Hippolyte and Danny Hernandez called in by Skype for about half an hour at a time every now and again, because they were in Australia and in Florida. Yeah. Was there ever a target demographic? No, there was no target demographic. There was no demographic, actually. It was just literally... the very first one were people that we knew, so it was friends. So we have a very small circle group of friends, so we wrote to our friends that we knew, and we said, hey, look, it was Tim in the room who said, you know, what it comes down to is Jesus, he said Jesus, period, all period. I would have said Jesus, full stop, all full stop. And Tim was the one who came up with that, and I said, yeah, absolutely, that's what it came down to. And we said, I don't know, it's very easy to go through routines in your life, and to find that, for me, to find that it's just a routine. And I haven't stopped to pause enough to actually reflect on that. And so, yeah, when we met at Atlanta, we were shocked. I was shocked. Just 172 people from around the world who all came. Some people, you know, I called some friends of mine, and they said, hey, come spend 2 days. And they said, well, what's their agenda? And I said, we're going to talk about Jesus. And they said, no, but what are you really going to do? And I said, well... we're going to talk about Jesus. And they said, no, there's got to be something else. I said, well, then don't come. Because I'm not interested in anything else. I said, I want to talk about Christ. I want to talk about what Christ means in my life. And if you want to do that, then come. And they said, well, I'm not going to come. Then I said, well, that's good. I don't, you know, you're not ready for that. I said, I need a space where we can have honest conversation about Christ. And that has, as Alex said, that has serious implications. If you start to talk about Jesus, it really starts to hit you because it causes you to address everything, not just some things.
Was the controversy a surprise, or did you kind of expect it?
Question was the controversy a surprise, or did you kind of expect it?
You know, Terry said to us that he thinks that in Denver, he said to us that he thought there was going to be some kind of problem with this, and we kind of laughed at him and said, what's the problem talking about Jesus? And he was like, oh, I think there's going to be a problem with this. Like, I don't know. I didn't expect it at all. It was 2 years down the road. We were really surprised to find the controversy. And the controversy was, to be honest, it was just bizarre. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we missing something with the
controversy? What was the controversy?
Oh. I will say this: it wasn't the great controversy. it was more kind of like a minor. Yeah, I don't know. It varies.
Was it a controversy?
Sorry.
Was it a big controversy?
Yeah, I mean it hurt people. We became I think the best way to describe it, we became the poster child for everything that others thought we were for anything in the church that people didn't like. So if somebody thought, are we going to sell caffeine, you know, are we going to offer caffeine coffee instead of decaf in the lobby of a church? Suddenly the one project had that as an agenda. And I was like, I arrived at my church in Boulder, and I remember I had to call a business meeting because apparently I was going to offer alcohol in communion. And I was like, where did this stuff come from? And it was just that kind of craziness started to like appear everywhere. Like we were posted off for everything. Yeah.
Sometimes the saints get a little
hooked. You know, so.
So. Nowadays, everybody and their pet Pomeranian online can advance any idea that they want to.
Yeah, people started to like come along and film. You know, they would talk to you. They'd have like their iPhone like this, and they'd be filming like this, and then they'd tell us, you know, things like, well, you know, I saw one of your preachers. She's like 56 years old, and she was dressed seductively, and I couldn't stand. I couldn't even watch. It was just too much. And I mean, it's just random stuff like that. It was just weird. So we kind of, what we do is we ignored it all and we just kept on pressing on. And that was the best, our approach was just to, let's just keep on talking about Christ. Let's not focus on any of that stuff and just keep on pulling people together to talk about what Jesus does in our church. And so we left that to the side, for better, for worse.
So how many of these meetings do you have a year? Or
we're closing the one project down. It's the final gatherings in San Diego. I made a decision together with the team in this end of the summer. So we have had, we're going to have 30 gatherings by the time this is done around the world. And thousands of people have met together. And we've had, in San Diego, we had like 1,300 people coming together. So, yeah.
So you had the last one already?
No, we're going to have the last one, Sydney in Australia in February, and then at end second week in February we'll be in San Diego, and that'll be the last one. Yeah. 7 years.
The reason for shutting it down?
Yeah, the reason for shutting it down is that I think that it's we started it because we wanted it to be a project, so it was never to be eternal. It was to be able to address for us a space for us to talk about Christ. I feel, and we feel, that people are talking of Jesus. The language of Jesus is in the church, is permeated in the church a lot stronger in all sectors. So that's actually a really healthy thing for us. We feel that's really good. Local all the way through the entire system is really exciting for us. But we're all pastors full-time, all of us. And there's only so much time to be able to do the one project and to be able to do church. And so we had to make a hard decision this summer. How do we make the local church grow really well or do this? And local church is where it's at. Yeah. So we're all focusing hard on our local churches and said that's what we're going to do more. So we're pulling a whole group of churches together for, pretty hard and fast.
Right. With you doing Project One, that was primarily with pastors then, if I'm catching up on this?
When we first started, it was just pastors in the room, the five of us, and a couple of two. When we invited, primarily pastors and our friends who were leaders of the church came.
Is that a format that you would encourage congregations to implement, that, say, this church, just as church members, we get together and start focusing on what does Jesus mean and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that actually, I mean, I think churches do this already. I think that the difficulty is that we're not always tied together. So here's the radical idea that we're trying right now. You know, what's fantastic, and I think you mentioned this, Malin, when you study the Bible every day, the same Bible text every day, and then you hear a sermon on it on Sabbath, it's transformative what happens, right? So imagine if your Sabbath school lesson, you're studying every day, and your Sabbath school lesson was the same text for all ages, 0 to 100, and then you heard a sermon on it, that would just, it would change the way the local church is doing. So we're starting that January 6th. We're going to study the same biblical text as family, 0 to 100, and we're going to preach on it on January 6th. And we're going to try and get the church into the Word of God, like, decipher it every day. Because I think that that's the problem. We're broken. We're like, adults study this, kids study this, preachers preach this, and everybody's on an eclectic journey, right? But we haven't taught people how to even have family worship together anymore. People don't know how to explain the Bible, decipher it to, like, what do you do with John chapter 20 for a four-year-old? What does that mean for a four-year-old? And so how do you translate that? We're trying to translate that every day now. Because that's really hard, and that takes that's actually where pastors really enjoy. But we're stuck doing so many other things, so we're trying to like move churches into that. Yeah.
There's probably a big difference, but what is the difference between the One Project and GYC? I've probably heard a little more familiar with GYC.
So GYC is a movement organized by Michigan Conference that's focused on young people, and the One Project actually is intergenerational. And so people have often tried to compare the two. Because they're both movements they're both starting to take a lot of traction and a lot of stuff taking place inside there. The other thing is that GYC is not run by pastors, but run by young people with the support of Michigan Conference. But the One Project is actually organized by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I don't know if you realize this, the One Project is not an independent ministry. So the One Project is actually part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So it's, you know how there are things that are ministries, independent ministries, supporting ministries of the church? The One Project is actually part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's an official ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is different to a supporting ministry of the church. So it's always been embedded inside there.
Is it under the GC umbrella?
It was when I was at Andrews University. It was under the General Conference. And then when I moved to Boulder, it became under North America through the Rocky Mountain Conference, through Boulder Church. Yeah.